Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Pavilion Podcast. I am your host, Brandon Barton, and you are listening to Is This a Good Time? The show where I put Pavilion members on the hot seat for 15 minutes. We hear their incredible stories. New for 22, by the way. Shows are out every Thursday, and if you hit subscribe, you won't miss hearing from our experts. Our guest today is Cassandra Jowett. She is the Senior Director of Marketing at Path Factory, and we talk about random acts of content. I loved that phrase. This episode is brought to you by Tropic. Tropic makes buying and managing SaaS ridiculously easy. Companies of all sizes, from startups to Fortune 500s, use Tropic to buy software, manage contracts, and guarantee savings. Customers save an average of 23% and 400 hours on their software buying annually. To find out how much you're overpaying for software, visit tropicapp.io. All right, let's do this. Episode 92. Is this a good time? All right, everyone, we are here with Cassandra Jowett. She is the Senior Director of Marketing at Path Factory, currently digging her way out of the snow in Toronto. Cassandra, it's so great to have you on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, look, all meat, no filler. We want to jump right into the questions. Look, tell us a little bit about what you do at Path Factory. You've been there for 4 years. Bring us through kind of what you've done there, and then bring us all the way back to the beginning of your career in terms of, you know, how you got to where you are today.
Sure. So I'm a bit of a, I like to call myself a bit of a marketing Swiss Army knife because I've done a lot of different things throughout my career and including here at Path Factory. So I started out doing the content thing, being the director of content. And then as business needs changed, as the team sort of grew, shifted, whatever, I just sort of fell into trying other things, which often happens at fast growing startups. If you sort of show an aptitude for being curious and trying to understand different marketing functions, then you can definitely sort of poke your nose in at different opportune times and just say like, hey, what's going on here? Maybe I can help. And, you know, hopefully if you sort of shown that you can do a good job in one capacity, then they'll give you the opportunity to try other things. And certainly as a content marketer, I have always been very curious about sort of the connection to revenue and trying to get closer to revenue all the time. I certainly believe in content from a brand perspective and thought leadership and all that kind of stuff. But certainly I feel much more comfortable the closer I am to actually generating sales pipeline and revenue at B2B companies with the content that I'm producing. And so right. I just sort of, you know, started to become more and more curious about that side of things. And also about customer marketing. I worked at a company called Influitive for a couple of years and really sort of dove deep into customer marketing and advocacy and became passionate about that side of things as well, and trying to understand the role that content can play in terms of, you know, onboarding your customers, helping them upsell, cross-sell, renew, adopt new product features, all that kind of stuff. So
talk about that, because I don't think we bring that up too often on the pod, but marketing to your existing customer base and in terms of, you know, probably improving net retention or just upsell and cross-sell and all those different things. Stay there for a second. What are some of the things that you found are very successful in doing that? Or like, how would you market to somebody as they're onboarding? What's the play there?
Well, I think especially at B2B companies, it's important to keep in mind that the people that you sold to may not actually be the people that are ultimately using your product every single day, actually logging into the software or whatever it is to get things done. And so sometimes you do have to re-educate people or educate them in the first place because they're new coming in. Sometimes, especially during the pandemic, like entire teams turn over and you have to start from scratch in terms of proving yourself and showing people how to use your software or services. So I really see it as an ongoing thing. Just because you sold a company an account once doesn't mean you're done selling them. And often you have different products and services that you may want to add onto their package. Like you're trying to grow the revenue that, you know, that they're paying you, and you know, not from like a shady perspective, but that's just how business works. And I think every CEO and marketing leader and salesperson would agree that it is cheaper to grow your existing customers than to acquire new customers. But, you know, I find the balance is often a little bit off in the revenue organization, where there is a huge focus and lots of resources dedicated to attracting and converting new business, and then very little dedicated to, adopting, retaining, growing your existing business outside of, say, like CSMs, who are really just trying to often keep the lights on. And you might have an account manager who like swoops in at the 11th hour. So I think marketing has a strong role to play there. And there are also lots of signals that your customers can throw off that can sort of help you understand which customers might be closer to being ready to be upsold or cross-sold and when. And I think from an account-based marketing perspective in particular, it's really important to look at, you know, if you're selling into enterprise accounts, what can the growth be of that entire account versus just, you know, the one division that you have. And so understanding how those people are engaging with your marketing is so critical, and, you know, trying to get them to engage more is, and if they're able to do that, that's usually a sign that they're a happier, more engaged customer who is going to grow versus people who, you know, very rarely engage with anything. And you can think of it, you know, you might look at Pendo to try to grow what they're doing in your product,
right.
But you also want to grow the education that they have around not just your product, but your business. You're always trying to improve your brand perception among your customers so that they do become advocates. So marketing has a really important role to play there for sure.
Interesting. And so, you know, apart from people that people are probably doing like, you know, a standard like newsletter, right? Like,
right.
What are some other things? I mean, is this like account based marketing where you're actually doing dinners and stuff on the enterprise level? Or is it really like, you know, is it actually like having ads directed at your current customers? Give me a sense of what you think is effective.
Yeah, I think all of those things can definitely be effective. It just depends on where you want to focus, what the priorities are for your business, how much budget you have, all those sorts of things. So, you know, I think at a smaller budget level, doing some one-to-many type of webinars or programs or content, is probably the place to start. And, you know, I think a lot of companies aren't even doing the baseline of, hey, we have a new product, not just that we've announced it, but we want to bring you into the fold and we want to give you early access and we want to make you feel special because you're our customers and tell you about it before anyone else. So those sorts of like sneak peeks or early looks at where everything is going can be really important. Your software, your services probably has key use cases that you're trying to get your customers to adopt more of. So can you educate them again through webinars, events, content, whatever it is, to get them to adopt more use cases so that their business is a lot stickier with you and yeah. They sort of understand the value. You're not just a one trick pony. I know like here at Path Factory, we have a minimum of 5 use cases and that's us keeping it really tight because you can do so much more with it. But you know, if so many customers are just using one and they change their focus, then that might mean that they're at a higher risk to churn, for example. So if you can get them doing like 3-4 use cases, then that's ideal. So things like that. And then I think partnering with the sales team and the CSM team for sure on, you know, who are those really high potential accounts who could grow to, you know, X millions of dollars over the next year or two. And how do you get introduced to more folks within that organization? Usually they're the large enterprise companies where you might have a division or two and you might have a couple internal advocates. So are they willing to sort of go to bat for you and make introductions for you, gather people for events if that's, you know, when that's possible, again, travel, all that sort of thing. But that's certainly, it's more of a sales led effort than marketing. It's more just like marketing supporting and providing the resources and all that kind of stuff versus actually like creating the content and educating customers.
And go back for a second. Tell us, just give us the whole spiel on Path Factory.
Sure. So Path Factory is an intelligent content platform for B2B marketers and salespeople. The idea is really that we all have to give our customers and prospects tons of content to get them to convert, to get them to become customers, to get them to adopt, upsell, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of data locked within that content. There's a lot of data locked within the engagement that happens between content and the visitors. So we basically use AI to suck in all that data and turn it into usable insights for marketers and salespeople so they can sort of know which accounts are the most engaged, which people are the most engaged and why, what topics are they interested in, what content assets. And you can do all kinds of cool stuff with that data around, you know, your marketing automation platform or your sales cadences and all that kind of stuff.
Cool. Love it. Sounds like, the perfect tool for somebody like yourself.
It is. I mean, the reason I joined this company 5 years ago is because I really enjoyed and I thought I enjoyed the product. And it was much simpler back then, of course. It's grown a lot in the last 5 years. But I saw it demoed at a trade show and I thought it really checked a lot of the boxes that I, as a marketer, had been trying to accomplish at various companies. And, you know, I think the biggest thing is, you create all this content, but it's really difficult to sort of weave together the actual journey that you need to take someone on. It can sort of start to feel like random acts of content, and you're not sure if people are really, you know, on the right path to actually buying something. It's, you know, they're filling out a form to download an ebook, and they're joining a webinar, and they're reading a blog post, but like, is it really relevant to them? Are they getting the information they need when they're actually interested in looking at it? I don't know. And so I had done all kinds of, you know, hacky things with WordPress, trying to, you know, create sort of one size fits all journeys for people. But, you know, that is pretty limited. And it doesn't respond to different needs, different audiences. And so, you know, the idea that there might be software that could help me with that, because it's, you know, much smarter than any single marketer could ever be, that was a really exciting idea.
Very cool. Well, look, we always talk about luck and hard work, both, you know, both getting you to where you are today. Give us an example of either in your career that have gotten you kind of to this step.
Sure. So on the hard work side, and, you know, I always have a hard time talking about this because I'm sure everyone works hard, and, you know, there's a lot of that going around. But I think for me, I try to jump in and try to solve problems that maybe are not within my job description. I've always worked at startups. And so just finding opportunities to say, hey, what's going on over there? Maybe we can come up with a solution or something like that, or to take a problem that no one's ever solved before and try to figure it out within my area of expertise. I really think that content in particular has the potential to solve all kinds of problems across the business. You just have to get creative and try things and see if they work. So certainly I think that kind of attitude, which I don't know if that counts as hard work or not, but that kind of attitude can definitely help. And, you know, it has given me all kinds of opportunities to try things that I probably never would have done if someone, you know, had just said, you have to stay within your job description at a huge company or something like that. So there's that side of things. On the luck side, I've been very fortunate to have some really great managers and mentors who have, you know, given me some of those opportunities, who have trusted me to try things that I've never done before. And maybe no one at the company has ever done before. So, you know, whether it's writing a keynote for a CEO when I've never delivered a keynote myself ever, and then, you know, being successful at it. So doing it over and over again, and just making that part of my repertoire, to, you know, trying to lead things like demand gen when I've never held, you know, a demand gen or a marketing operations position, but, you know, I feel like I'm capable of understanding what's going on there and managing the people who are doing that work, just by asking a lot of questions and being curious about what's happening in that function. So things like that have really helped me. And I think that kind of luck of finding the right people to work with who will give you the space to try those things is really important.
Yeah. You know, it's often, you obviously pick a job, but they always say you pick a boss, and it's hard to get to know that person in the hour that you're answering questions to them, you know, probably more time than that. But at the same time, you know, it's a little bit better in a situation like yours where you've been in a company for a few years and have been able to navigate your way to the right position. Sounds super cool. All right. This next one's got to be easy for you. Give us a marketing tactic that people should use that they're not using today.
Right. I always struggle with this one so much because I hate the marketing tactics just willy-nilly. But one thing that, you know, I've really come around to here at Path Factory and that I certainly believe in just as a person is ungating as much content as possible. And I know that a lot of marketers bristle at this idea because it's sort of how they're measured. And like maybe the problem isn't that, you know, you're not able to be measured. Just find a different way to be measured and provide that better experience for people who are actually going to consume things. And even if you can just like reduce the number of forms, that helps a lot. I see a lot of companies still, even though I'm definitely in their database, I'm definitely cookied, I have to fill out a form every single time I land on a piece of content, and then I have to go to my email to find it. Like, that's just a terrible experience. So any way that you can reduce that friction for people, I think is super, super important. And you'll see immediately if you are setting things up to be measured, whether it's, you know, through something like Path Factory or through just like request a demo request, for example, or take a demo request, which might be, you know, not a perfect measurement, but you should see that increase over time because you're exposing more people to your content and your ideas. I really don't understand the sort of ongoing desire to hold content hostage behind forms as much as possible, because that's just the best way for marketers to measure things. It's just totally backwards. So free your content, ungate it as much as possible.
Love it. Love it. All right. Well, this is more of the quick fire round. Any key position you're hiring for?
Yes, I'm hiring for two content marketing roles right now. One is more of a senior strategic sort of long form content role where they'll be working with our data team on reports and things like that, and maybe some PR work. And then a slightly more junior role that's more focused on like short form content, social media videos and all that, like getting a bit creative and trying to find ways to take those big media ideas that we're producing as a team and breaking it up into more digestible formats for, you know, all kinds of different channels that can be used by, you know, our content team, our demand gen team, our customer marketing team, to try to sort of like tease what PathFactory is all about and help people understand in shorter segments. So both of those are up right now. We're interviewing, but we haven't made any hires yet. So
cool. Maybe we'll find some people in the audience. All right, give some shout outs. Anybody who you want to shout out, who you love their content, you appreciate what they're up to.
Yeah. So Jillian Wood is one person I would say. She's been posting on LinkedIn for the last little while all about content marketing. And I think content marketers are generally not very self-promotional. And so they tend to be very quiet and don't actually say what they think. But Jill is getting out there and giving some really great content marketing tips based on her experience working for various SaaS companies. She was on my team at Influitive and is just a super smart content marketer. And she has lots of great ideas and also is very direct, sarcastic. So you might laugh along with her. And then one other person is my coworker, MC, who goes by Marie Claire Seco on LinkedIn. And she is just constantly sharing all kinds of great insights. She just won Employee of the Quarter for this and some other great work. So I think she's a person to follow if you want to sort of stay up to date on marketing trends as well.
All right, cool. Love it. All right. And last but not least, most important to me, you can give me anything. It doesn't need to be in Toronto. Would love to understand. Give me like a restaurant recommendation.
Yeah. This one is so hard because I haven't eaten at a restaurant in so long. I'm 6 months pregnant. And I've been trying to avoid like indoor dining.
And that kind of stuff. That's incredible.
Yeah. So it's been quite a while, but I still think about a meal I actually had in DC, and I'm going to struggle to remember the name of the hotel, but we were looking at a hotel for a conference, and the meal was incredible. There was like a fried, like crazy looking fish, and it was just amazing, but I'm totally blanking on the name right now. So I hope one day I can travel to the US again and eat there, but it's certainly been a while since I've been indoors at a restaurant. I've been eating a lot of like truck stop hamburgers and that kind of stuff over the summer when it's actually nice weather outside. So when I'm looking forward to when I'm not pregnant and I can be a little bit more risky about things.
I love it. Well, that's just such incredible news to throw in at the end. Well, Cassandra, so great to have you on. Really looking forward to keeping in touch and hopefully, both the COVID thing and the snow thing end soon in Toronto so you can be free.
Thanks. Yeah, everything ends eventually. It just takes a while sometimes. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
This episode was brought to you by Tropic. Friends don't let friends overpay for software. Tropic helps companies reduce burn, extend runway, and ensure compliance. Visit tropicapp.io to learn more and get a free savings assessment. All right. That's our show. Thank you so much for listening. If you love the podcast, please rate and review. It was 5 stars in Apple Podcasts or Spotify app. Send it to some friends. Do the stuff. This Pavilion podcast is powered by Showpad. For opportunity preparation or opportunity execution, Showpad has everything your team needs to add value, provide insights, and engage with your customers. Want to learn more about Showpad? Head to www.showpad.com for a personal assessment of your enablement journey. I had so much fun today. I hope you did too. Now, get out there, crush your numbers. Showpad.